Well, a couple of weeks ago, an organization called Duluth for Clean Water held a conversation about jobs in the Arrowhead. And John Doberstein is on the line with us this morning. It's about darn time. We haven't talked with him in too long. Hey, John, good morning.
Good morning, Lisa. Thanks for having me.
Nice to have you on with us. I was really curious about this conversation. Eric Simonson was invited. Jody Slick with Equilibrium 3 was here. Rolf Weberg of the NRRI, Nevada Little Wolf, was here. Joe Cypress, the Duluth City Council president, moderated the discussion. We hear a lot of conversations about opportunities for new jobs, new kinds of technology, new kinds of jobs that we haven't thought of before, but it's hard to kind of get a conversation going about specifics. What kinds of jobs might we be able to create? I'm interested how that conversation played out.
Well, yeah, Duluth for Clean Water's goal, one of our goals is to elevate this conversation about jobs and discuss what brings us together instead of what divides us. We are hearing a lot of jobs proposals in the Arrowhead region, some of them more risky than others. And we wanted to focus on the less risky, more exciting jobs proposals that not only look at our economic growth, but the protection of our environment and the protection of our social fabric here in the Arrowhead as well. The conversation was amazing. That panel that you explained we were just so proud of it. They are all experts in their own fields. We have a senator for the state of Minnesota representing Duluth, a Iron Range city councilor in Nevada Little Wolf. We had a local Duluthian, Jody Slick, who's just a green jobs guru and a genius in that realm. And then Dr. Rolf Weberg, who's really doing some innovative research through the National Resource Research Institute out of the U of M. And just incredible research on specific jobs opportunities in ways that we've never thought of before, and really neat and really forward-thinking stuff.
Well, it seems to me that if folks could find jobs that are, you know, really excellent paying jobs that have good benefits, I don't know so much as anybody is standing up and saying, you know, I don't want to take care of our environment, for example. They're just saying, I have to feed my family. I have to support my family. And I have a long tradition doing X, Y, Z. And this is kind of what I'd like to keep doing. So obviously, if some good paying jobs can come into the equation, that's going to make it a little bit more interesting and exciting for some people to say, well, maybe I'll take another look at that. Frequently, we talk about tourism jobs, and a lot of those jobs are, frankly, minimum wage jobs. And it's really hard for people to make ends meet on a minimum wage gig.
Absolutely. Yeah. I cringe when we make the conversation about what's better, a good mining job or a tourist job that's based on people coming to visit and canoe or, come to see our beautiful northern Minnesota environment. And the conversation should really be about how can we make northern Minnesota a great place to live, to raise a family, to bring food on the table in a job that gives you dignity and that you feel proud of. And the argument of jobs versus the environment or Iron Range versus the Twin Cities is an argument that we decline. We are not interested in that. We want to elevate above and talk about, again, how can we make the northern Minnesota, Duluth, Iron Range, everywhere in between, a good place to live? How can we support our main streets and attract people so that they have opportunities and that they have a beautiful environment around them where they can fish, hunt, do the outdoor recreation, things that we love to do, as well as, work in a job that pays well and that supports their families.
Well, since there are only a few public broadcasting jobs available, John, we kind of have to think outside the box a little. And I smile. But one of the things that I was excited about is, as I've, you know, grown to be an adult, is the idea that, oh, you know, I could go live in the Tules and I could live out, you know, in farm country maybe where my family is from. And because of the internet and stuff, I'd still be able to work. And that was kind of a promise that I think those of us who really like the idea of living out of a city but need to depend on a city in order to work were really, really excited about. Does it look as though some of that promise is being fulfilled or could be fulfilled at some point?
I think so. I think we've got an incredible workforce here in the Arrowhead. We got brilliant minds, wonderful ingenuity, and in Minnesota we really are passionate about civic involvement and making the world a better place while acting locally. The Mayor Larson in her State of the City address really hit climate change hard and said, we as a community feel that climate change is real. And she laid out an energy plan that I was very excited about. And those directly translate into jobs. Right now in Duluth, she said we have 1,600 jobs in the renewable energy sector, and it's growing. And she has set a bold task of reducing the city of Duluth's greenhouse gas emissions 80% by the year 2050. And those will reflect into jobs. And I look at it as the Iron Range has this wonderful workforce, this passion for good, strong, blue-collar labor jobs. And we have an international port in Duluth. We have wind turbines coming in and out of that port yearly. It's one of the bigger things that come in and underneath the lift bridge. And we have a great opportunity, I think, to lead the nation in renewable energy economy. What I do want to add, though, is in City Councilor Joel Cypress did this really well when he set the stage as our moderator. He said, we can't look at this as pie in the sky. We have to be realistic. This is not an easy conversation. We don't just get to say, hey, come make your wind turbine here. We live in a capitalist society, and it's a very challenging thing. But we need to continue to have conversations, and that's what we were looking to do at our jobs conversation, and have bring in experts to talk about what we can do to work together to move forward, because the mining jobs versus outdoor industry jobs argument does not get us anywhere.
Well, and I think I've got to accept or say that the media plays a large part in this. I am very critical and resentful of conversations on either a local or a national scale that seem to pit two sides of a discussion against one another, and they begin to frame things in terms of, well, this organization lost, or this cause lost, this cause won, this side won. Because when you set up winners and losers, you really are driving a wedge between the two sides, because, you know, who wants to be a loser? And to say, no, that's not what we're about. As you say, what do we have in common? We want to live and work here, and we want to make a living, and we want to be able to feed our families and live in smaller communities where, you know, mom and dad are down the street and the cousins are across town or that sort of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. There was a recent study put out by the U of M that highlights, when we're talking about specific jobs programs in the Arrowhead, I'm really excited about this Rural Minnesota Renewable Energy Job Study. And they say the clean energy economy is continuing to expand in Minnesota. It's providing many low-cost energy jobs and also increasing our economic impact. And there's a lot of things that go into that. Senator Simonson does play a big role, as well as his colleagues in the Minnesota Senate and the House, with things like the investment tax credit and production tax credit, the renewable energy standard, the solar energy standard. Those pieces of legislation are critical, and they're usually bipartisan in their support. They're critical in creating jobs in the Arrowhead region. Renewable energy jobs are one of the fastest growing sectors in the state of Minnesota. In this recent this recent report said that when planned additions, so these are planned projects that we're going to see in the next few years, will create $7 billion in direct investment. And these are investments in wind and solar projects and over 5,000 jobs related to construction alone. And, of course, increase our energy capacity and make a grid that's more clean, more renewable, and create great jobs for people in the Arrowhead region.
Well, John, I look forward to continuing to have these conversations with you and also to follow Duluth for Clean Water as they continue to have these conversations, and hope that we can indeed move the model away from so-and-so won, so-and-so lost, this versus that, and do try to move things in a productive direction for so that everybody feels heard and everybody feels like, yeah, okay, I can get behind this.
Absolutely. Nevada Little Wolf came from Virginia to be with us and really shattered a lot of people's thoughts about the Iron Range, that they don't care about sustainability and they don't care about renewable energy. And that's just not true. And I really appreciated her perspective. And she highlighted all of the great things that are happening on the Iron Range in Virginia to show us that people do care. That is something, Lisa, that we can find as a win-win if we allow ourselves to have those serious, real, and difficult conversations.
John, thank you so much for joining us this morning, and it was great to talk with you. And as I said, I hope we have the opportunity to talk again soon.
Thank you so much, Lisa.
John Doberstein with Duluth for Clean Water, talking about a recent conversation about jobs in the Arrowhead.